In this particular situation, the city of Santa Rosa was sued based on the premise that not having district elections or having at-large elections skewed the vote toward older, wealthier white people, or more directly disenfranchised the Latino vote. And so in this first round of district elections, we only got one new member, myself. We had two members who were already seated. What I think we're going to really see is in 2 years, when Southwest and South Santa Rosa get their own districts, that we're going to hopefully get some people who don't traditionally get seated on city council, because it's the cost to enter the race is really high. And so I think that we have more steps to take in terms of reducing the opportunity cost for working families and people of color, people who have to work for a living to get on the city council.
And you're the newest member of the city council. Can you talk a little bit about what that experience has been like and if you feel any additional responsibility to shake things up?
You know, it feels good. I feel welcomed by all six of the current members of the Santa Rosa City Council. I feel a responsibility to take in mind that I'm the first person to come directly out of a district, and as such, that's why I'm going to be placing members on my boards and commissions from District 4, and in a way that represents the diversity and the varied perspectives that we have. I feel that we are in good hands with our leadership, and that I have a lot to learn from my colleagues. So in terms of shaking it up, my perspective is to do a heck of a lot of listening before reinventing any wheels.
What are some of your top priorities for 2019?
Well, the major planks of my campaign remain, and underneath all of it is, of course, climate change and our concerns about we can't really do anything if we don't take care of our climate. Building upon that, we have a housing shortage. We have unhoused people who are homeless or housing insecure. And additionally, we need to really work on developing our workforce in terms of being able to build and rebuild and have families that can afford to live here. So I look forward to working closely with the building trades and other organized labor groups to get many of our working families into living wage jobs.
Another barrier you mentioned on the panel was that you see a lot of folks, a lot of families, a lot of women with children aren't really able to access, you know, public meetings, and you feel like they're kind of left out of politics. Can you talk a little bit more about that and what you see the solution to that as?
Well, I see us thinking about the structures in place and stepping back. You know, we're all so close to it when we're involved in it that we don't really think about what it means to get even in the door. And so I think that we need to have a holistic approach where we step back a bit and we say, you know, what is our outcome here? Do we want people who working families? Do we want people who have to work for a living to be able to participate? And if so, what are best practices in other cities? What are best practices in churches? What are best practices in other robust community groups? And I don't think we don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you put childcare and food there, people will come with their kids.